purpose of correction is to show us our guilt, and the purpose of guilt is to move us toward repentance. So as we correct our children, we want to keep that in mind, because once they see their guilt, we have to have a plan to move them toward repentance. And as we work with our children, we want to teach them something that they're going to use for the rest of their lives. As we work with kids, we don't want to just give them childish solutions to their problems, but we want to give them adult solutions. So how are we going to walk through the repentance process with a child? Well, our next parenting strategy is to give children, provide them a way to think about offenses so they know how to respond to them in life. And so as parents, we need to have a plan for correcting children that's going to move them through the repentance process. It's going to help children know how to think about offenses, know what to do when they realize they've done the wrong thing. What are they to do? We want to help our children understand that.
Now, we're going to give you what you might consider a technique, but you have to understand where it comes from. We did a Bible study on the word repent, repentance, repented, and so on, all the different parts of the word repent. Over 75 times, the Bible uses the word repent or one of its forms. And we asked the question, what is repentance? We identified a number of factors, and then we created a little formula that we can work on with children every time they make a mistake. In fact, I would encourage you to use this little technique every time your child makes a mistake or offends someone or has to be corrected or redirected. That means you're probably going to use this 20 times a day. With more for some of your children. But you're going to use this regularly. We call it a positive conclusion, and it has three questions and a statement. When you use this over and over again, you're training your children how to think about offenses. So the process they go through as they're answering these questions teaches something very valuable to them. Valuable. You can teach this to children as young as 3 years old. We're going to use it all the way through their teen years. And they'll use it when they get into adulthood, as they have to work through offenses in their own lives. Three questions and a statement make up this positive conclusion.
First question we ask is, what did you do wrong? You see, repentance, we have to start with confession. We have to help children see that it's important to admit you've done something wrong. The whole problem we often have with our children is they want to blame the problem on someone else. They don't want to admit they've done something wrong. It's not my problem. I didn't do it. And they don't take responsibility for their offenses. And so we've got to start with this question, what did you do wrong? And help children answer that. Now, sometimes they're not ready to answer that, and they have to sit down, take a break, and settle down. But the next thing that happens is they come back to the parent, and we ask that question. We say, okay, let's talk about this. Tell me, what did you do wrong?
Now, sometimes children will say, I don't know what I did wrong, or I didn't do anything wrong. And sometimes they truly have forgotten because they've had to sit in a break for quite a long time and they've forgotten everything that's happened. So in those cases, you just want to say to the child, here's what you did wrong. You hit your brother when he took the CD out of your hand. That's what you did wrong. Okay, now, but don't just say it and have the child agree. Have the child repeat that because you want confession. You want the child to say it. It's part of God's strategy for repentance. Confession is very important. Now, you got it? So I'm going to ask you the question again. What did you do wrong? You want children to be able to confess what they've done wrong.
Now, sometimes they know what they did wrong. They just don't want to say it. So that child, we may have to send them back to the break, say, well, why don't you just sit quietly on the bottom step until you remember what you've done wrong? It's amazing how quickly they remember when they realize they have no other choices. They've got to answer that question. We ask, well, let's just talk about that. What did you do wrong? Now, if the child, when you ask him, you ask your son, what did you do wrong? And he says, she took my book. Well, now you've got a different problem because we're not talking about her taking the book. We're talking about your offense. You see, even if someone else started the problem, it's still each child's responsibility to take that responsibility for his part of the problem. So even if you didn't start it, you still have to answer that question. Yes, but what did you do wrong? We've got to stay focused on each child, and we're going to discipline them independently, separate them, and talk to both of them through this positive conclusion. But we've got to ask each child, what did you do wrong? And not allow them to blame the problem on someone else.
What did you do wrong? That's the first question. Let's go to the second question, and that question is, why was that wrong? Now, that's important because remember, we're teaching values and convictions to our children. We want them to know what the convictions are that we stand for. We want them to know what the values are. So when you ask the question, why was that wrong, the child has to link those. Now, if you've got a young preschooler, they might not be able to recount the why. You're going to help them, but have them repeat it. I would encourage you to have three basic rules in family life: obey, show respect, and be kind. If you do that, then you can just make this a multiple choice. And you can say, why was that wrong? And they have to answer one of those answers. Why was that wrong is a strategic question because it gives us opportunity to teach our children some of the reasons behind the offenses that happen in life.
Now, sometimes this question, why was that wrong, gets confused with a different question. And parents ask, why did you do it? I'm not sure that's a helpful question because we know our children are sinful, they're selfish, and why they did it is not as important as why was it wrong, because we want to see this positive conclusion as a teaching time, a learning time. If we're going to learn through correction, we've got to understand, well, why was it wrong? Why do we have these rules in family life? Why do we have a problem here? So let's talk about why it was wrong and help children understand the values behind our rules.
So question number one is, what did you do wrong? Second question is, why was that wrong? And the third question is very important. What are you going to do differently next time? We ask that question because repentance is not just looking at the past. Repentance is a change of heart. It's a 180-degree turn. I was going this way, now I'm turning and going this way. And we're asking children, what are you going to do differently next time? There's sometimes when I've been working with my children and we get to that question, what are you going to do differently next time? And the child says, I don't know. And I think about it and I don't know either. And so I've got to brainstorm with the child. It's a very important question. We want our children to be prepared for the next times of life. That's why we ask that third question. We want children moving forward, thinking about what they're going to do the next time they're tempted in that same situation.
You see, sometimes our children find themselves in situations they don't know how to handle. And they don't know what they really can do about the problem, and they get sucked into emotion or something leading them along. And so we've got to talk about this and maybe role play a little bit. What are you going to do differently next time? Let's see what that looks like. But sometimes children know what to do, but they're not doing it, right? You're probably thinking that. Yeah, my kids know what they're supposed to be doing, and they're still not doing it. And I think that's the difference between head knowledge and heart knowledge. It's really the beliefs that we have in our heart that determine how we act in life. And often our children have the information in their heads, but it hasn't penetrated their hearts yet. Maybe you've taught your son that he needs to be kind to his sister. And he knows he needs to be kind to his sister. He can repeat it back to you. I need to be kind to my sister. I need to be kind to my sister. And that's great because he knows it in his head. But when his sister takes his CD player without asking, the operating principles in his heart say revenge. And he acts out of those operating principles in his heart. We believe this positive conclusion is so helpful because it helps to get the information from the head down to the heart. Children have to repeat over and over again what the right response is. This is what I should have done. I should have talked instead of grabbed. I should have talked instead of grabbed. Eventually, they're going to talk about it instead of grabbing. It takes time. We're changing patterns in their hearts. And so it's going to take repeated positive conclusions, repeatedly answering that question. What are you going to do differently next time? Okay, let's talk about it. Let's have a plan. It's very important.
Some children we call perfectionists. They're the child who can't tolerate a small mistake. These children rarely take too many risks because they don't want to make any mistakes. How do you help that child who beats himself up when he gets one wrong out of 100? That child also needs a positive conclusion because we need to learn from correction. Correction isn't a bad thing. In fact, correction is one of the things that teaches us in life. So we're teaching children to value correction. We're providing a way to think about offenses, and this perfectionist child needs to be able to answer the question, what did I do wrong? Why was that wrong? What am I going to do differently next time? Then we make a statement, and that leads us to our next parenting strategy, which is to end discipline times with affirmation and forgiveness. So the concluding statement is, okay, go ahead and try again. It's a very important statement that we make to our children that gives them this sense that we believe in them. We're giving them the sense of affirmation. We're forgiving them. We're allowing them to move forward by saying, okay, go ahead and try again.
Oh, I like that last statement. It reminds me of what Jesus said to the woman caught in adultery. Go and sin no more. That's what we want to communicate to our children. I think too often we stay stuck on the problem along with our kids, and we're not able to envision a positive future for our children. We're not able to affirm them and help them to move forward. We want to say to our kids, okay, it's been dealt with. We talked about it. We talked about what you did wrong, why it was wrong, what are you going to do differently next time? And then we want to empower our children to move forward. Say, okay, I believe in you. It's been dealt with. Now let's move forward.
This is not just for children. Although we're trying to break it down developmentally so that a young child can know how to think about offenses in life, this is also for adults. I know a lot of adults who beat themselves up when they make a mistake or blame the problem on other people. We're starting right here. With a young child or a teenager, we're going to help them process this. We're equipping them for life. They're going to do much better when they get out into a marriage someday. Wouldn't it be great if a partner would say, "I was wrong, will you forgive me?" Oh, that's remarkable. We're going to start right now as a child learning how to work through the repentance process in order to move forward.
I think it's unfortunate that too often parents feel like there's tension after the discipline time, but that's necessary. We have to leave that tension in the relationship so the child really learns his lesson. I think that tension that's there is unnecessary and unhelpful. What our children really need is to come back together, feel reconciled again with the parent, so they can move forward in life. They can forgive themselves and they can experience the forgiveness of their parent, recognizing that mistakes are not fatal. I'm going to make mistakes, but if I go through a process, I can feel a sense of forgiveness. It's the same as our relationship with our Heavenly Father. We've got to be able to go through a process and feel a sense of forgiveness. He doesn't continue to hang it over our heads. And I think as we parent our children, we need to recognize the benefit of that freedom as well, to help our children understand affirmation and forgiveness after they've done the wrong thing.
Let me tell you the story of David and Bathsheba. Nathan was the prophet in charge at that point, and God used Nathan to go and talk to David and Bathsheba. And he said to David, obviously revealed his sin, and he said, "The consequence here is that your son is going to die." And sadly, that's what happened. The little baby died. The Bible tells us in the next few verses that David went in and comforted his wife, and they became pregnant again. It wasn't long before they had another child. They named him Solomon. The same prophet, Nathan, came to David with a different message this time. This time, Nathan comes to David and says, "You can name the baby Jedidiah," which means loved of the Lord. What is God doing? See, I'm convinced that what God is saying to David is, "Come on, David, we got a kingdom to build here. Let's put the past behind us. We're done with that. Let's go forward. You can name the baby loved of the Lord. Let's go forward. Let's do the right thing." That's what our children need. We're giving them a gift, and I suppose you can see how freeing that is for the conscience. If you end every discipline time with a positive conclusion, you're teaching a child how to process offenses, and you're coming through to the end, and you're giving a sense of affirmation and forgiveness. It's a tremendous gift that we give to the conscience. It's a tremendous gift that we give to our children as they're learning how to process the offenses of life.
So now when children feel guilty, they know if I go through this process of repentance, it's going to feel so much better at the end. It's not worth holding on to that guilt or trying to excuse it. I can go through a process that I've learned through my life, and now I can understand forgiveness at the end. And I think it's a message that we need as parents as well. Because sometimes as parents, we feel like we failed too many times. We may feel like giving up, like, "I just can't do this. I'm a failure." And God says something very different to us, that God offers us forgiveness. And so as parents, we need to go through the positive conclusion ourselves and continue to move forward. It's a message for all of us, not just our children, that when you feel guilty, you want to move through the repentance process so that you can get to the sense of affirmation and forgiveness at the end.
1 John 1:9 says these words, very comforting words. "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." That word "cleanse" is a beautiful word, isn't it? It's this freedom that we have on the inside, the forgiveness that we enjoy. The conscience is like Post-it notes. You know, I don't know if you use Post-it notes as reminders for you, but I'll put Post-it notes all over the place as little reminders. The conscience is the Post-it note of the heart. The conscience is the reminder that we need forgiveness. And so the conscience is prompting us, get forgiveness, deal with the offense. Many of our children don't know how to get down that path in order to receive forgiveness in their lives. We model that for them. It starts, at least in that verse, 1 John 1:9, with confession. That's what needs to happen in our children's life. But let's just look at ourselves for a moment. Let's just look at ourselves as parents. Because God has given us the privilege of forgiveness. Hebrews 10:22 tells us that salvation sprinkles the heart so that the conscience can be cleansed. That is a beautiful Bible verse. Sometimes when people accept Jesus Christ into their life, we call it salvation or becoming a Christian, but they give themselves to the Lord, they report it this way: I feel like a tremendous weight has been lifted off my shoulders. You know what they're saying, don't you? They've just experienced a freedom inside their conscience. It is a conscience gift that they have received. Salvation does that in our lives. It's very important to see that. I want to encourage you right now, if you've never accepted Jesus Christ into your life, that you would do that today. That's the most important parenting tip that we could share with you, is that you accept Jesus Christ into your life. Because when you do that, it just transforms you, because you know where God wants to live? He wants to live inside of your heart. That's what the scriptures tell us. He comes to live inside of us. He transforms us. He changes us from the inside out. What a tremendous gift. And then he empowers us with all kinds of spiritual resources. It's a valuable parenting tip, and the most important one that we can enjoy, because then we can pass it on to our children and we can help them experience forgiveness. And we model it every day in the discipline process. As we bring our children through the positive conclusion, we say to them, okay, go ahead and try again. We're expressing this affirmation, this forgiveness to our children. We're representing God to them to a certain extent. We're at least modeling to them what it means to experience God in a very personal way and experience His forgiveness in our own hearts. See, God focuses on the conscience, and good things happen.
It's interesting to realize that God is working on our hearts as we work on the hearts of our kids. It's so refreshing to know that God has forgiven us, cleansed our consciences, and provides a hope for us as parents so that we can move forward.
Sometimes parents say, I can't think about God as Father. They either didn't have a father growing up, or they had a father that wasn't a good model of how God is a father for us. I think that person is making a mistake. They're using an earthly model of a father to imagine what God is like. Instead, we need to come to God as Father and understand what a real father is. Then we can take that model and apply it to all earthly examples of parenting. You know what we discover? There are no perfect parents. We've all failed. All of our parents have failed, and that gives us opportunity to introduce our children to their Heavenly Father as well.
God loves us so much, and He offers us salvation. We must respond by recognizing that we're sinners in need of a Savior. We need God to come into our hearts, cleanse our consciences, and then we can move forward in the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives.
If you've never made that commitment to Christ, please consider it today.